Our text this morning is written in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, reading from verses 11 to 16. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep. So I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. This is our text. One of the items that almost leapt out at me as I was looking at the text in Tittle is one of the variants which appears in the final verse of the text in the Septuagint, according to the Septuagint, Kyriak, and Vulgate translation. For those three versions seem to be following a Hebrew text which reads in the closing part of verse 16, I will guard or preserve the fat and the strong, whereas the Hebrew text reads, I will destroy the fat and the strong. Needless to say, the difference between the two Hebrew words involved is a rather significant difference, in the one case, the outcome of the fat and strong sheep being that of destruction, while in the other case, making their outcome be one of preservation and being guarded. As we look at this particular pericope in the context of the entire chapter of Ezekiel 34, we can understand how both of these readings fit in well with a part of the context. For instance, in verses 17 through 22, immediately following our pericope, God expresses his condemnation toward unloving and self-seeking sheep. He says as follows, and as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the ram and the male goat. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must foul the rest with your feet? And as for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet, and they must drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pricked your side and your shoulder and thrust at all the wheat with your hands until you have scattered them abroad, therefore I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey. And I will judge between one sheep and another. This section certainly reminds us of the temptation common to all of us as the sheep of God's pasture, particularly we who spend our academic life and who plan to spend our professional life in the study and proclamation of God's word, drinking deeply of the living water which he provides, nourishing ourselves with the meat of his gospel forgiveness, particularly we are tempted to look upon ourselves as the sleek and strong sheep, and in our own pride and selfishness then begin to shoulder aside and trample underfoot the other sheep and that pasture in which God seeks to lead them. God has a strong word of warning and condemnation to us who are tempted and who frequently yield to temptations like that, indicating that such unloving and self-seeking behavior among the sheep of his pasture is contrary to his will and calls forth from him a word of judgment and condemnation. And following the Hebrew manuscript, this whole concept of God judging among the sheep is presented already in the closing words of verse 16, where he says, "And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment." As we turn to the first part of the chapter, however, we see another teaching being presented to us there. In verses 1 through 10, God says the following: "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them." Again, a strong word of warning to us who aspire to be or are under shepherds, reminding us again that as under shepherds, we will have the commission to feed the flock with God's word and to feed all the flock, not giving partial treatment to those who happen to offer more to us in return, but indicating and showing a need and concern for all, whether they be weak or strong, sick or healthy, at home or wandering abroad. Now, in view of that context, the version of the Syriac Septuagint and Vulgate seeks to emphasize that God's care of the flock is not like that of the false shepherds, that God does not distinguish among those under his care, but that he showers his pasturing and loving care upon all weak and strong, fat and lean alike. We are tempted to serve ourselves, whether we be sheep or under shepherds. But the good news of our text is that by the grace of God, for the sake of that Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, we need not yield to these temptations to show partiality and lovelessness. For in Jesus Christ, our sins have been nailed to the tree of the cross, and the victory over those sins, their guilt, their power, and their punishment has been won for us. So that in the Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for all of us sheep, and for all of us under shepherds, we can rejoice and victory over this temptation, over sin, over death itself. Rejoicing in the care of the good shepherd for his sheep, we now join in the worship act. Let us go.